So I'm going to ask you to give me a little amen action here, just for the first couple minutes of this. So when you agree with something, remember, amen is I agree. The Christian life is amazing. Amen? Amen. The Christian life is a piece of cake. Amen? I got a couple of you. I wasn't sure. That's a rough one. We know that our eternal reward that we have is far going to outweigh any little things that we go through here. But it's a struggle sometimes. And I know life on this planet, being a Christian, is not easy to go through sometimes, especially when we're talking about a world full of control freaks. And actually, as I look around right now, I can see a room full of control freaks. So that's not always easy sometimes. But we're talking about this morning, we're going to be talking about surrendering. We're going to be discussing surrendering our lives to God. Are you saved or surrendered? That's what our topic is today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day you've given to us. We thank you for this word that you've given us that we can just focus on for a short time and allow us to just be studying your word and allow us to be open to what you have to teach us this morning. And we'll ask this in your name. Amen. So are you saved or surrendered? Nations battle back and forth and fight for a conquering victory. But an unconditional surrender, I know we have a lot of historians in here, an unconditional surrender is what is the deciding factor. An unconditional surrender is what decides it. That's what they look for. There's no restrictions. There's no conditions. When those conditions exist, then there's always the chance that, or the threat of a continual war, things that will continue with that battle. But an unconditional surrender is the decisive factor. I accepted the Lord when I was 5 years old, and I was baptized. I did a lot of church activities, but it wasn't until years and years, and some of the youth group right now are going, keep adding, and years and years later, that I surrendered my life to Him. When you accept the Lord as your Savior, that's not the end. That's not even the goal. The goal is for unconditional surrender of our lives to Him. Would you turn with me for a minute into the New Testament, into the book of Philippians, the first chapter of Philippians. Philippians is a fantastic book. We had the opportunity last summer to go through an entire series on the book of Philippians, or Paul's joy letter. I find it really interesting to think about where he was when he wrote that joy letter. Paul was in prison. He was in a Roman prison. But Paul wrote this letter about 61 AD to a church that he founded, or that was founded on the second missionary journey. It's actually the first church that was established on the European continent. But while he was in this Roman prison, he wrote this in order to thank the church for their gift that they had sent him through one of their members, Epaphroditus, and to encourage them by discussing where true joy comes from. It's not from our surroundings. Again, he was in prison. It's from Jesus. And I just find this book so fascinating. But we're in the first chapter of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And we've been discussing, the elders have been doing a lot of continuing education here. We've been in the Greek language, learning about how just rich when the New Testament was written, how just rich it was. And there's so much that we can get out of that. It's just amazing. And most of you know I am a Greek scholar, so not at all. But the Greek word for completion there was epiteleo, I believe, epiteleo. It's that to finish or to attain a goal. And this completion is the goal. This unconditional surrender is what we are to be our goal. when we think of unconditional surrender, doesn't it give you kind of a negative spin? Doesn't it kind of give you a negative thought? We've been talking a lot about the word submission in our Truth Project studies. And submission is another one of those words that gives you kind of this like negative connotation. Wives, submit to your husbands. And the world has this whole thing of really putting a negative spin on things. But when you think about how Jesus was submissive to the will of the Father, is it negative anymore? Not at all. Jesus was submissive to the will of the Father. It becomes divine. It becomes perfect. But that word, these words of unconditional surrender sometimes get us. And Satan loves to warp words that we have. He likes to warp words that we have and turn wonderful opportunities into some negative attitude and cheats us out of a powerful blessing from God. An unconditional surrender to Jesus is not something negative at all. It's not always something that giving something up. It's not what we have to give up to Him. It's opening the door to something that we want and God has for us. So before we get all worried about what things we're going to have to give up in our lives, let's take a minute and say, Lord, what do you want to say to me today about things in my life? Let's turn back in the Old Testament to 1 Kings. We're going to read 1 Kings, and we're going to read about a battle in the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 20, we're going to be in verse 1. If you don't have your Bibles, there are Bibles in the underneath the chairs. We have it up here too. 1 Kings chapter 20, we're going to read about the battle between God's people, Israel, and the Arameans, led by a man named Ben-Hadad. We're going to read just the first couple verses of that chapter. So 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, starting. Now Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mustered his entire army, accompanied by 32 kings with their horses and chariots. He went up and besieged Samaria, where Israel was, and attacked it. He sent messengers into the city to Ahab, king of Israel, saying, "This is what Ben-Hadad says, your silver and your gold are mine, and the best of your wives and children are mine." Listen to what the king says here. Listen to what the king of Israel comes back with in verse 4. The king of Israel answered, "Just as you say, my lord, the king, I and all I have are yours." Now, we don't often talk about King Ahab in a very good light. he wasn't a good guy. He wasn't a very godly man. He wasn't somebody that you want to really pattern your life after. It's kind of like saying our man of the hour, we're going to discuss for Father's Day today, is Adolf Hitler. So it's not something that you normally think about. Not something you normally talk about him in a good light. But it's a perfect example of unconditional surrender today. Think about what he said, what King Ahab said to the king that was coming in, to Ben-Hadad. "Everything I am, everything I have is yours." Think about that surrender, that unconditional surrender. Have you ever said that to God? "According to your word, everything I am and everything I have is yours, O Lord." Unconditional surrender of your life to Jesus means laying down control of everything that you have and everything that you are and everything that relates to you and giving that control to Him. Have you done that? Are you saved or surrendered? Many people say that they have unconditionally surrendered their lives to Christ. But when you ask them to tell you about it, they say, well, I was saved. I asked Jesus into my heart. And I said, Lord, here am I. You can do with me what you will. But that same person goes through life partially or even sometimes mostly surrendered to God. But unconditional surrender is giving up absolute control of everything in my life to Jesus. Nothing held back. It's an absolute yielding. You know, in many martial arts tournaments, the tournament or the match is not over until there's a yielding, a giving up the win, a yielding, an absolute yielding. Churches today are filled with people who are saved but not surrendered to Jesus Christ. Those people were wondering why God is not using them more. Wondering why he's not blessing them more. Wondering why the joy of the Christian life is not there. Wondering why the power of the Holy Spirit is not in what they do. And I think the primary reason is that they are not unconditionally surrendered to him. They are mostly surrendered or partially surrendered. Lord, everything over here you can have. All this you can have. You can have this. You can have this. I'm giving this to you right here. I'm giving this to you over here. Well, this is something. Yeah, this is nothing. This is nothing. This is something I've just been messing with for a long time. This is just kind of part of me. It's not important. It's not a big deal. But you can have this, 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 and this. He'll understand. Sure, he does. But these are the things that in my prayer life come to my attention very quickly. These are these things, these finances that I don't want to talk about. This relationship that I really am not comfortable talking about. This person at work that I don't want to talk about. I don't want to deal with my feelings with that person, or this habit that I am involved in. An unconditional surrender means that I am willing to give everything that he asks to him. Everything that he asks to him. Oh yeah, without condition and without, shall we say, like bartering and thinking about how we can change things. Lord, I'll give you this if you give me this. If you give me this, or if you'll do this for me, I'll give this to you. Or Lord, I will give you this, but not this. I'm not ready yet to talk about that. And we forget sometimes who we're talking to. Think about what Ahab, the king of Israel, said to this invading army or this invading king. Everything I am, everything I have, all this valuable stuff I'm giving to you. Everything I am is yours. Because of who God is, he has the right and the privilege and the sovereign position to require us to give up everything that we have to him, whether or not he chooses to do anything for us. Don't draw those lines that we do so oftentimes draw. Lay it down. If you do nothing, Lord, I know that I need to give this, and I'm willing to be obedient. I surrender it all to you. I relinquish control. I have to choose by an act of will to surrender this, and I do. It's unthinkable in our world today when people have so much trouble giving up control of something. It's unthinkable to do that today. I mean, my family alone has enough control freaks to fill a stadium. She's laughing right now. I don't know if she thinks she's talking. I'm talking about her. But my family alone has just so many control freaks in them. Give up control? I would have to give up control? How much control? Wait, half of my control? 80%, 90%? No, 100% control. Because when you give up 100% control of your life, when I give up 100% control of my life, it makes me 100% completely, absolutely, totally available to the will of God. Whatever, whenever, wherever. That's what obedience is all about. So why would God want unconditional surrender from me? Why would he want that? What would be God's purpose in absolute obedience? Well, let's turn a few books ahead to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, we're going to read verse 11. Many of you are very familiar with this. Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Jeremiah 29, 11. So I think number one, he's looking out for our best interests. He already knows what's coming down the road. He knows that road way before you were ever born. So he's looking out for our best interest. Number two, he wants to use you. If you ever wonder, because of your background, because of the things that you've done in your life, the people that you have done horrible things to, if you ever wonder if he can use you, why not find out? Stop asking how and start giving him the privilege of doing it. And the third one, not just that he wants to use you, but he wants to use us. And this is a tricky part. He wants to use you his way. I even heard some laughing on that one. Because I think my ways are great sometimes. I think my ways are great sometimes. That's pretty funny. I will be the most successful in this field, Lord. I will be the most successful so I can be used mostly by you. And so I can make more, that I can give more to you. I want my child to go to this school so that she can have the best opportunities to be used by you. That is so far away from, not even in the same ballpark as, absolute control. When I do those kind of things, am I saved or surrendered? Whose glory am I thinking about when I do those things? Not his. I need to be praying with my kids every night that they will be open to God's direction for the success that he has in store for each of them. His purposes for me, for my family, are far higher than anything that I could ever dream up. Ben-Hadad hit Ahab with everything that he valued most. I want this, I want this, I want this. In the next verse, we even find that he wanted to send somebody into King Ahab's area to see what he valued most, so he could then take it out and take that. What else was there? Then the elders in verse 9, in Ahab's throne room, in Ahab's group, helped him make another decision about that. Well, you can do this, and I will do this, all these things that you asked me to do, but I can't do this. This is too costly for me. This is too much for me. I think it's kind of funny when we tell God how we can't afford to obey him sometimes. It's too much. I can't afford, Lord, to tithe on this. I'll tithe on this, but I can't afford to tithe here. My position, I have like 32 weeks of vacation here. I can't think about switching positions to another field or somewhere else that you're calling me. What would I do? That would be such a detriment. I can't do that. How could I serve you if I do that? I can't think about that, going on a mission trip somewhere. I can't think about doing that kind of stuff. Or even talking to neighbors about that. We tell God how we're unable to, or how we can't afford to obey him. We rationalize it and make it pretty and make it sound nice to the point that we're sure, we're absolutely sure that God is convinced that we're right. We shouldn't have to do these other things. We shouldn't have to give up these other control and give him complete surrender. Not even close. My dad had this look that, and a lot of you guys knew my dad. Yesterday would have been his birthday. We were talking about him. He had this look whenever I was trying to get away with something. I would always, you know, I would prepare, and I could be, you know, I could make myself sound like, this is a really good idea, Dad, for me to be able to go to this concert or for me to go hang out with these people. I can really make this sound great. So I was getting all ready, and I would be all prepared to talk to him and have my speech ready for him. And he would give me this look, and he would just sit there, and he would just give me this look. And the look, without saying a word, said to me, without him having to say anything verbally, that look said to me, you may have fooled yourself, but your Jedi mind tricks won't work on me here. He could tell me that very quickly, that whatever you're trying to pull, you may have fooled yourself, but you haven't fooled me. Disobedience never persuades God. And I can never accomplish the will of God by being disobedient to him. Understand that. Many people think that they have totally surrendered themselves to God. And it's easy sometimes, isn't it? We bury that 5% that we haven't given to God under all these other things that we have given to God. And to the point where I can't even really hear, God must, he's not talking to me about this. I know, Lord, you wanted me to do this, 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 and oh, I've given it to you. Oh, and I know the Lord is happy with what I have done. Thank you, Lord. I know you're going to bless these efforts. I know you're going to do all these things. And I don't want to think about that 5% of something that I haven't given to him because I bury it deep. I can't hear it anymore, I think. Or I say at least. Are you saved or are you surrendered? When I'm really willing to give God the ability to search my heart, when I'm really willing for God to search my heart, I am opening myself up to him and willing to do whatever he wishes with what he brings to my attention. Let me say that one more time. When I'm really willing for God to search my heart, I am opening myself up to him and willing to do whatever he wishes with what he brings to my attention. I've had to deal with a lot of things, a lot of issues that God's brought to my attention over the years that weren't comfortable, weren't easy to deal with. Some of those things I had to let go of. Others, he just wanted me to think of a little differently or prioritize a little differently or use in different ways. But I always knew what those issues were. They were the first things that came to my mind when I was praying. They hit me at some point in every sermon that I listened to. I always knew what he wanted me to deal with. It doesn't take much digging to realize what parts of ourselves we haven't fully surrendered to God yet. It's a personal requirement. Unconditional surrender is the requirement of God for every single follower of Christ. He told the apostles to follow him, and he would make them fishers of men. To follow him, they had to lay down their nets. When they laid them down, they walked off those boats and surrendered to Christ. Think about how often we say, oh, you want me to surrender to you? Okay, that's great. Let me pack up this net and hold it securely over here because I never know when I'm going to need it. I never know when you're going to call me to need it later. And let's get these boats steered to wherever you want us to go. And we miss the point completely of the exercise. God doesn't care about that net, and he certainly doesn't need that boat. What he wants from us is for us to fully trust and surrender ourselves to him. In martial or military arts, we often have to train on to do these things that we don't really know why we're training. We don't really know why we're training on this certain thing. You don't get it until maybe later, until you see this big picture. The old movie Karate Kid showed that with the master was helping him, having him wax the car or clean the house or paint the fence. And he didn't understand it until he saw the bigger picture that he was learning how to do these things that he needed. But we don't see it sometimes and don't understand it until we see the bigger picture. Sometimes we respond with our lips even, but we don't mean it with our hearts. We resist and begin to protest to God why we shouldn't be able to do this. And I think there's several reasons why we don't unconditionally surrender to God. I think the first is fear. And there's a couple different things that we fear. The first is a fear of what God may require of us. And that's where the enemy loves to hit the road and start to get after us about, well, you know, if you give this to God, if you give complete surrender to God, you know, you're so close to your family, he's going to have you leave your house. He's going to have you leave your family, and he's going to send you to the deepest, darkest jungles in Africa. And then we start, I guess he could. If you're somebody that has wealth, the enemy goes after us and says, he's going to have you give up every penny that you have and live like a bum on the street. If you give surrender to him, that's what he's going to have you do. And we go, I wonder if that's what happens. I wonder if that's what's going to happen. The problem is, the enemy is a very good liar, and he tells very believable lies to us sometimes. And we buy into it. We believe them and deliberately and willfully disobey God because we don't want that. We don't want what the enemy's trying to feed us with that. Then we rationalize it. Nobody's perfect, and that won't be that big of a deal. And we can still work on these other 95% with what we give to God. And we try to make up for not surrendering that last little area by getting busier and busier. And we throw ourselves into these other things, and we get busier and busier. God, I'll do this. I'll sing. I'll give. I'll teach. Don't worry about this. I'll do all these other things. But don't ask me to give up that relationship or that habit. I get busier and busier. And then eventually get burnt out because that's not what God wanted us to do. You can never do enough work to make up for not being totally and unconditionally surrendered to God. It's not about work. It has nothing to do with work and the amount of work you do for it. It has to do with my attitude, my spirit. Unconditional surrender leaves me no control. And let's face it, giving up control is a scary thing. You will never, ever understand that faster than moving to the passenger seat while you give your 16-year-old, who just got his permit, the keys to your car. Ever understand that faster. I may have to replace the passenger side floorboard in my car before Ben ever gets his driver's license because of pressing down on it, trying to use the brake that's not there. You mean I can't call any of these plays, Lord, that I want if I'm 100% committed to you? Or if I'm totally surrendered to you? Nope. But how about this one? This is really good. No. But this one has worked for you before. This one, you know when we... No. I transfer possession to Christ. That's a fear. Another fear is a fear of failure that we sometimes work with. A fear of failure. What if I fail? And God says, so what? I thought you were going to learn. There's a whole lot of failure in this room right now that God's used to do amazing things with. We've all failed, and God has wonderful things in store for us when we do. The third is a fear of criticism, because we don't know just what unconditional surrender may require for us. We fear that other people may think this of us or say this of us. So that's fear. The second is selfishness. We want our way. I mean, you have 95% of me, God. I got to have something to control here. I'm only human. He knows all about that. The third is pride. Lord, I know what you're getting, what you're talking to me about. I know what you want. I know your plan. But wouldn't it be better if we just did it in this timing? This timing would be a little better, wouldn't it, Lord? You know, because I know more than the creator of the atom and the creator of the cell and the creator of the universe. I'm not a social media person, but Tricia showed me this really, I think it's a powerful message this week, and I was thinking about it a lot. Long before Zacchaeus ever needed to see Jesus, God planted a tree. I just thought about that over and over and over again. I think the full quote was, long before Zacchaeus needed to see Jesus, God planted a tree. And he's going before you and making a way for you to. Whatever God tells you to do is for his glory. And when we are involved in that, it's for our good. There's no exceptions for that. And the last one, which I think is powerful and kind of gets involved in everything else, the fear and the selfishness and everything, is rebellion. Pure and simple, rebellion. When God tells me to lay it down and I keep it, even when I work extra hard at being busy for him, I'm trying to cover for what I didn't give him. We talk to the boys all the time about half listening is not listening. I've talked to some of the other parents about the same thing, about what you say to your guys. Half completing a task is not completing a task. And mostly obeying is not obeying. So 95% surrender is disobedience and rebellious. And I should not expect to be blessed by God for that. Has God brought anything to your attention while this talk was on, while we were talking about this? It may not be something particularly bad. He doesn't just go after the things that are this dark, dirty, evil, wicked thing. He goes after anything that will hinder his best in your life and mine. If he knows it's keeping you from being blessed, He's going to go after it. He's coming after it. He knows what is best for you, what is best for me. Some of the funniest debates that I've ever had in life are my debates that I have with God. And yes, I said that. I actually debated with God. And it's funny, I heard an old pastor one time say, some of my funniest debates were with God. Some of them were even theological. That's really funny. But like a loving father, he doesn't listen to any of my many excuses because he knows what's best for me. And he loves me more than I will ever comprehend in this life. There are times I give in reluctantly, but I don't surrender. And I miss out. Kind of like Lucas when he debates with Trisha for about 20 minutes on why he shouldn't have to eat this carrot on his plate. And after arguing and arguing, he still believes he's right. And he knows better, but he eventually eats that carrot. And then he goes and cleans his room. And he missed the fun stuff that he was going to get to do because he was so busy moaning and groaning. So sometimes I do that. And Lord, I'll do it, but I don't like it. I'm going to do it, but I don't like it. I don't like this. I do the same thing. But I'm learning. It's a work in progress for all of us. I'm learning. I'm not completely a lost cause. I mean, think about it. After all, if God can use some of these losers in the Bible, these people that were deadbeats, these liars, these cheaters, these murderers, there might even be hope for me in there. In God's plans. Are you saved or surrendered? When you unconditionally surrender, you lay it down. It may not be easy. It may not be comfortable. But until I do that, I'm going to fight with God. I'm going to argue with God because he wants it. Or he wants me to use it in a different way. Or he wants me to think about it in a different way. And I miss out on so many blessings. I may be attached to that person or that experience or that privilege. But if God says put it down and walk away, I better put it down and walk away. And then I can watch the blessings flow. Are you saved or surrendered? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for so much that we can learn from your word. Lord, something that was written thousands of years ago is just so impactful and pertinent for us today. I thank you for the lessons that you have for us, and I thank you for that love that you show us. You are a loving Father, and I thank you for all the times that you don't let me get myself into a worse and worse and worse mess because you know what's best for me. I thank you, Father, for that guiding, that directing that you give to us and for demanding absolute surrender. Amen.